He's former fullback on Alabama's perfect team of 1992. Martin Houston, kind enough to join us. Martin, hope you had a good weekend.
We had a great weekend, Chris, and how about yourself?
It was different now. I had a great time. There was, I say that, first one, obviously, in a while with no what we think of as college football. I had a lengthy discussion about this in the first hour, Martin. If you are a true college football fan, then you can get by for one weekend with Army-Navy, with playoffs in the Division II, Division III, and FCS level if you're hardcore. But for most of us, it's a different deal now, not having our SEC or a Pac-12 or one of those Big Five conferences having a matchup that we get a chance to enjoy.
Hey, man, I was just glad to get the tweet from you that I was going to get to talk football this week. I've been thinking, Chris and I did not confirm over the weekend. Isn't that bad? I'm sitting there like Saturday when ball, and there's nothing on.
Yeah.
I'm like, man, what am I going to do on Monday?
Well, I know you better than that, but I appreciate you nonetheless. I will tell you what I got to do now. Of course, we had basketball Saturday night. Tide took on Tennessee Tech and got a win to improve to 6-2 on the year. But what I got to do that morning now, and I don't take it for granted. A lot of people do. A lot of people, Martin, have their kids that play rec league games and youth sports and stuff like that. Daddy doesn't always get to see those.
Right.
So I got to get up, do the go get the team picture made deal. Then go to the game and actually just enjoy it. So that was pretty good. That wasn't a bad way to spend the Saturday before I had a ball game that night.
That is awesome, Chris. And I tell you, man, those memories and getting to see that part of it is great. And I'm one of those that gets the opportunity to do that quite regular. And we had a big game. We secured our first win of the season. We've only played two regular season games. We're 1-1. But game one, Chris,
yes.
I think we missed 20 free throws. I think we were 0-for-20. 0-for-20. And
oh, no. How old?
Hey, they're 12.
Oh,
sixth grade. But listen to this, Chris. Went back. That's what we worked on. We won the game 20-17. Guess how many free throws we made? 4.
All that time, and you got 4 out of 20 that time.
But hey, wow. But the difference was, right.
I would imagine by Saturday night you'd worked your way near the television and got to see the Heisman Trophy presentation. And, you know, here we are. We've gone at Alabama. Never had a Heisman Trophy winner until Mark Ingram.
Right.
And what's this, our third guy in 3-4 years now that's gotten to New York?
And the irony of this, Chris, is three offensive guys, and as you say, to not ever have one to win it, but to have three in kind of, I guess, successive classes, if you really look at, even though there was a gap between Mark and AJ, but, you know, it's amazing what Coach Saban has done. We're known for our defense, but yet we're putting up numbers well enough for our offensive players to get invited to New York.
It's pretty cool. And yeah. Look, that's a thing where I know from an Alabama fan perspective, been one my whole life, it was almost a badge of honor that we'd never had a Heisman Trophy winner.
Yeah.
Because we'd love to throw it out there. Well, we're all about championships.
Yeah.
We're all about winning the team titles. But we know, we thought it was cool when David Palmer was on the short list and then Jay Barker. And, of course, we had a while, and then we finally get one.
Yes.
And it was there are a lot of us that will never forget that night at Coleman Coliseum, just waiting on the Purdue-Alabama basketball game to tip off. I think it was Anthony's first year. And
wow.
We're sitting there. There's a big crowd for that. But you had everybody going into the concourse areas to watch the presentation. And when Mark's name got called, the roof almost went off the place. It was unbelievable. So now we've realized because in this day and age, that if you win the team titles, your guys are going to get a chance at the individual honors. And, Martin, I don't think there's any coincidence, and Alabama keeps getting great players because of that very fact.
Oh, I agree. I mean, you know, when you look at the caliber players that Alabama has coming in, you have Heisman caliber players. I mean, the question is, are they going to get the opportunity to have the stats and things like that? And that's what we've been able to do, even, like I said, with the defensive-dominated coaches. But one of the things, Chris, that as I watched this Heisman and was a part of this season, what I liked about what came down at the end was that I think they went back to what the Heisman's supposed to represent. Now, was that because that's the players that was there? But you go back the last 2 years, to me, I lost a lot of respect for the Heisman because of picking Johnny Manziel and Jameis Winston, because it was more just strictly about stats, and it wasn't about what they say the Heisman is supposed to represent, both on the field and off the field. And I don't know of anything, and there could be something, but these three young men that were there represent what, to me, what college football is all about. And you could take your pick, but definitely proud of the one that was representing the Crimson Tide.
No doubt about that whatsoever. Joined by Martin Houston, fullback on Alabama's 1992 national championship team. Cole Kublik's going to join me in about 10 minutes, Martin, and we'll talk with him about from the Auburn perspective. But I want your reaction on Will Muschamp's hire on Saturday by Auburn.
Well, you know, the first thing, you know, as an Alabama fan, I would love to be able to come on here and say, it's crazy, it's not going to work. I think if you can get a Will Muschamp at on Auburn or anywhere, you go after him. What's yet to be seen, and I'm holding a little bit back, I don't think it's going to have the splash and the effect that Lane Kiffin had for us, but I think it has the makings and the potential of it. The reason I'm only a little leery, I think they will be better on defense, but I've seen defensive head coaches have offensive coaches who can come in and be successful. I've not seen an offensive coach bring in a defensive coach and that marriage work at the same level, because what Saban does on defense only helps our offense. What Malzahn does on offense actually hurts defense. And it's going to be interesting to see how Will Muschamp makes this marriage work when what the offense does when it's successful actually puts stress and strain on his defense. In other words, when they do what they're supposed to do on offense, it's actually going to put the defense back out on the field even faster and less. And so can the two, a great defense coordinator and an offensive-minded head coach, work at the same level that a defensive-minded coach with a good offensive coordinator work? That's yet to be seen.
Lane Kiffin going to be the coordinator next year?
I think so. I think he is too. I think for two reasons. I think one is that it was a gentleman's agreement. You know, of course, these coaches can do whatever they want to do when it comes to these contracts. But I think that Lane Kiffin, I think he's having fun. I think if he was older, I would say he'd jump ship. But there's no reason for him to be in a hurry. Is there something out there right now that I think would attract him? I don't see that job out there right now. Now, if some big job came opening, you know, that would attract him, that he could get, you know, the same caliber players he's coaching, that he's coached at USC and at Alabama. Because think about that. The offensive talent he's had, with the exception of Tennessee in the college game, has been the cream of the crop. And he's not going to go somewhere where he doesn't have that. And so I think that is one of the advantages that we have of getting him for another year. And I also think he's learning how to be a head coach from the best in the business. And I think he'll take another year and do that and know that the next time he goes, it's going to need to be for good as he make that transition back to head coach.
Last thing I'll let you run. You mentioned Manziel. How much did you enjoy seeing Wallace Gilberry get the sack, then flash the money sign?
I didn't see it, but Let me say this. I saw several. Was that Wallace that was doing the money sign?
He was the first one because he got to him. He got the first sack.
So he did it.
I think when Dre got the pick, he may have done it. There were a lot of opportunities to flash the money sign if you were a Bengals defensive player.
Pac-Man Jones did it. I saw like three guys do it, but I didn't realize Wallace was one of them. But, you know,
Pac-Man don't need to be flashing any signs here, Martin.
But that's the thing. Hey, listen. Have you not watched the NFL with all of their hypocrisy? I mean, come on.
That's a great point.
I mean, what difference does this make? I mean, that league is, to me, is making a fool of itself with the way it's handling all of these different things. And so that doesn't surprise me. But it was interesting to see that it shows you the level of talent at the NFL. And as great as Alabama's been, and I've heard people say, well, Alabama would be the third NFL team. It's not even close, and, you know. but because everybody on those NFL rosters are professionals, and Johnny Manziel found out real quick that you better study your playbook, and you better know your reads, and you better know how to get rid of the ball and get in a hurry. And those plays that you were making where you were just out of the reach of a defensive lineman in college, it's a sack in the pros. So, hey, it couldn't happen to a better guy. So,
moving right along. I know we're inside of 10 days from Christmas, but I'm going to imagine you'll still take a few phone calls down at the office, won't you?
I will definitely take a few phone calls down at my office, have the opportunity to work with Alpha. And you know, we want to wish everybody a Merry Christmas from Alpha. And know that as you're going into these holidays, you're looking and spending a lot of money. So on the other side of that, I want to invite everybody to go ahead and make those plans and prepare to give me a call at 205-826-1381 so we can figure out how to save you some money on that auto and that home insurance so that you can put some money back in the bank after you spend it on those on your family and friends over the holidays. So give them a call, Martin Houston, Northport office on Lorraine Wallace Boulevard, 205-826-1381. And on behalf of myself and Alpha Insurance, we want to wish everybody a Merry Christmas.
Martin, appreciate you very much, my man. Have a great week, and we'll talk soon.
Appreciate it, Chris, and Roll Tide.